Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baskin and Phelps, 216-578-0092, or on Twitter at CLE Talking Heads. So, Jeff and I honored to have our next guest on today, Dr. Amy Acton, the Director of Health for the state of Ohio, and somebody who we've got to know very well over the last couple weeks here as she's on the nightly news, and we see her all over the Internet. Dr. Acton, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Acton, the big news from Mike DeWine yesterday about starting to maybe return to life as was starting the process on May 1st. What exactly does that mean?
Well, you know, I know if anyone out there is feeling the way I and my family members are feeling, you know, this has been a long road, and I think we're all anxious to see what comes next. Like, what can we do, you know, to begin to get back to normal? And I know it's hard because it's, we all have heard over and over again, it's not a quick light switch. This is kind of a long road for us. We won't be going back to the way we were a couple months ago, but we are going to move forward. And I hope that gives your listeners some hope. You know, this is going to be a slow kind of walking back into life. And the governor, you know, has said that, you know, his team is working on a plan. You know, we are working, the president just released his plan. So we are, you know, working in concert with that and some of the best scientists really around the world to figure out how can we slowly start to let some freedoms back, especially around work life and a little bit around some of our regular hospital visits that we do so that we can do that, but do it safely. So this has to be a responsible return. And I know we all wish we could go back to everything right away, and that wouldn't be, you know, a responsible thing to do. But we have whole teams working at, you know, by May 1st, what could we return to slowly? And then we will watch. We'll watch to see how our cases do, how the spread of infection does. And then we'll take another step, and we'll move our way forward that way over the time to come.
So if there's a message here, it's patience, right? And I mean, from your office, it's got to be methodical patience, correct?
It is. And I think, you know, I think people are watching the news. They're seeing what's going on around the world. We've seen other countries try to go back too quickly, see a big spike. So everyone around the world, because this is a novel virus, no one's done this before. There's not a perfect playbook. You know, the good thing is I feel like states and governors and everyone's kind of moved together this time. It was a little awkward on the way into this, but I think you see more people being on the same page, trying to like sort of take some steps and see how we do. Unfortunately, this virus is still out there and it spreads very quickly. We've seen it spread in our nursing homes and in our, you know, prisons and other places. And so what we've got to do is figure out ways that when we return slowly back to work, it doesn't spread there as well. And so it is going to take, you know, all of us a lot of patience and a lot of tolerance for ambiguity as we try things and see what works in our country. But it also, you know, there's a lot more. We've realized how much control we can have, and there is control here. You know, all these things we did together really made a difference. It made us not be the Italy, the New York, even what Louisiana has had to deal with. And so if we keep up some of those things, that will give us the most control we can have. So we've talked a lot about wearing a mask now, more when we're out. We're talking a lot about the same precautions. So you'll see us go back slowly. But we need some joy, and we need a little bit of our lives back. I mean, I think there's no one out there, myself included, who isn't feeling that way.
Dr. Amy Acton joining us, the director of the Ohio Department of Health. Dr. Acton, I think when everything was shut down and the shelter-in-place orders were put out and everybody just reeled life back in, I thought that concerned everybody. I wonder if people are more concerned now about having the opportunity to kind of start maybe moving back to normal, if that scares people more than the staying at home did. What can you say to folks who might feel that way?
You know, I think, you know, our confidence and our trust, and that's why, again, I can't say enough about what an honor it has been to work for this governor, because he is, I mean, if doing what we did on the way in was hard, this phase is much, much harder. And as you know, not everyone fully understands yet or fully accepts, you know, the risk at hand. You know, our economy has been affected in ways globally and global supply chains that even if we hadn't done these methods we've done, these changes are going to be with us for a while to come, because it's just that disruptive. A pandemic is more than even just how many people die. It really is about what it does to so many aspects of our society. And so I think people are right to be cautious. And I think that's why we want to provide everyone with the best, safest guidelines that they can follow. And we'll keep doing that. We'll keep walking this with you so you don't feel alone in it. You don't feel that you're being rushed into anything that feels unsafe to you. And so, you know, we will continue to provide that guidance so that you can slowly have confidence in what you do. And that's why patience is hard, but I think we're all learning it's worth being a little bit patient, so that we can do it right. And we will not trust right away. You know, so much of our economy is based on consumer trust and belief. And that's why we have to kind of earn our way back there. And businesses are working so hard. They're trying to find new and innovative ways to operate. You know, just like we've done, we've seen some grocery stores put up plexiglass and do, you know, aisles that work differently. And, you know, Costco, you have to wait in line. And these kinds of things, if we try them and we watch and see how they work and then do a little more of them, I think people will begin to feel a sense of trust about that. For some people, though, this is going to be a particularly hard period. If you have pre-existing health conditions, if you are elderly, we know that our high-risk groups, they're not going to be able to return, you know, just back to life as normal. And they're going to have to stay more like where we've come from for longer periods of time. And we'll be giving guidance on all that to everyone. So we will talk you through it. I just don't want people to feel alone in this. I know I can't underestimate the pain people are feeling, whether it's lost a job, losing a business, the effects they're having. You know, that's what's awful, but it's not the measures we've taken that have made it awful. It's the virus. It's a pandemic that has made this awful, and none of us invented this. None of us created it. What we're trying to do and what our governor is trying to do is walk us through this threat we face. And just like 9/11, we can't go back to the old ways. We've had to have new things, but they become a part of your life. They become, you know, taking off our shoes, as much as we hate it. You know, we've learned to move forward and still return to a good life. And we will return to a good life. We will have a good life even during this. And I think in some ways, having some of this guidance that's coming out over the next week, it's hard being patient while we get it. But some of just knowing the land we're in will make people feel at least a little more in control. I think it's been this limbo where everyone's sort of, how do we move forward? This part's particularly hard.
Dr. Acton, my son said to me yesterday, he said, Dad, it's a good thing, and because we're a sports talk station, it's a good thing Kansas City won. It's a good thing Kansas City won the Super Bowl, because imagine if they would have had a parade in San Francisco. And knowing what's happened in San Francisco and how many lives were saved there. And I turn to him and I go, you know what, maybe a year or 2 years from now, we're going to turn around and say, I wonder how many lives Arnold Schwarzenegger saved by the Classic being shut down, because that seemed to be the thing that started this whole thing off, when tough decisions really had to be made.
And I think that's it. And it's so much to ask of people to keep understanding. This governor is just fighting for you, and he's fighting for businesses. He's fighting for everyone. He would never, ever, ever pick one of these decisions lightly. I wish people could see behind the screen and just see how hard got each and every one of these things are. And I think when history is written, people will really much more deeply understand what we've all been through. But it's so hard to see when you're in it, and when your enemy is invisible, when your enemy is a virus that no one can see, and when you do a good job and you don't see us digging mass graves, you don't see us doing the kinds of things that we're afraid of, it's almost like it wasn't there. But there's no one here, there's no motivation that would ever go through something like this except to do the very best by the citizens and the businesses of Ohio, because the worst thing that can happen for a business is to open too quick and have really bad things happen, like we've seen the meatpacking industry or things like that happen. That will ruin our economy in a much harder way than us going back carefully. The best way, and economists all over the world are saying it, the best way to have the best outcome for our economy is to do it smartly. And that's what we're gonna work with our business partners to do.
Dr. Acton, have things gone well in Ohio? I Governor DeWine seemed to be a step ahead of most other states on most everything that happened. Are you guys pleased with the way it's gone? I mean, obviously you're not going to shut it down, but has it worked the way you were hoping?
You know, it was uncharted territory, and everything we're seeing and what we're seeing in the data, it's more than you could have hoped for. Sometimes it feels almost miraculous, really. And it is the people of Ohio that did it. I mean, we've done our parts. We've tried to provide the guidance and do the best with the understanding that we have at the time. You know, it always looks a little different. Everything looks different in hindsight, because you learn more each day. But I think we've been very lucky, very skilled so far. But we knew that it was just the first battle. You know, that was the biggest hill to climb. I thought, the governor's use of the Winston Churchill quote, and maybe you could put it out on your website or something, it's really important. And I thought a lot about Churchill during the beginning, because I realized that we had a long haul ahead of us. We know that it's until we have herd immunity, until we have a vaccine, these impacts on our supply chains, this impact on the global economy, this will continue until we can hold this virus in check. But, you know, I really think about, what does it take in a leader to lead, you know, when we realize, when we've gone through things like the Great Depression, when we've gone through things, you know, you really have to be able to lead people, not just for a short period of time, for the long haul. And I just, again, I feel grateful that we have somebody who has the courage, you know, kind of to do the hard things and make those hard decisions that not all people like, but they're the ones that get us there. And, you know, we all are going through a lot of stages. As I said in yesterday's press conference, you know, we're going through, and myself too, and I tell you this with all honesty, daily grief, anger, bargaining, you know, all those things. And we as a people need help to get through that. And we're very lucky in this state to have this kind of leadership. And everyone is responding. Our business community, everyone's really going to the mat to try to do this well. So I look forward, you know, to playing whatever role I can as we move through this next phase together.
I know that we've got kids listening today, too. And the governor said yesterday that he was probably going to come up with some kind of decision for the schools next week. What's the thought process for you heading back into next week when he makes that decision on schools?
You know, that's something the governor, and he's going to be pulling together a lot of our folks in education to really talk through that. You know, I know that school closures, when they look at the data so far, you know, that was probably one of the most helpful of the many layers. Remember, if anyone was following my Swiss cheese layers, it's really this layering of no one perfect solution, but then together you layer those layers of Swiss cheese, school closings being one of them, over each other, and you cover up the holes. We now have a new layer of Swiss cheese that we didn't have in the beginning. Actually, we didn't have the guidance that these masks, even these homemade masks, could be so helpful. So he's going to have to unlayer us in very, very delicate ways, and we could be a little more nuanced this time. And so I do think, you know, schools are something that's a pretty big exposure. So even in some of these phase plans that you're seeing all around the country, the best advice, they often come a little later in the process. But we can use these times we have. We know we have the summer ahead. These are times that we can use to learn more about distance learning, get better and better at what we do in the hopes of doing a lot more in the fall. We also know from Dr. Fauci and others that we could have spikes and have to at times have to return to a more, you know, restricted or go backwards a little. We don't know yet because we don't know how this virus will play out. So we want to use this time we have. I know the mayors were on a call really talking about how they could use the summer to help kids. I'm worried about kids. Not all kids are having the same experiences, obviously, with school closures, and some kids are a little more hard hit, and we really need to do some creative things to make sure we keep our kids on track. So I think those conversations will all be had in the week to come, and we'll probably be hearing more.
And then the last question, obviously, for our listeners is would be the return of sports in some way, shape, or form. And just,
yes.
I mean, as you look at it, I'm just curious steps that you think we might have to take to get back there. I know a lot of folks are, you know, just trying to figure it out. And as you've said, we don't know what the plan is. And we, you know, we hear the commissioners of the leagues and we know what
right.
they're trying to say and how they're trying to do it. Is there a way to have a game plan for you or for the medical community to try to say, okay, well, this might be okay, and let's move forward from here?
You know, I know we talked with a lot of the commissioners on the way into this because we were early on in this, obviously, and we'll certainly be talking on the way out. I know the president has been talking to them at length. And so they are really, again, what we have now is we've bought some time. And I think they're, you know, the commissioners are really looking at how could we do this. And I think, you know, anytime in this, we might get a miracle cure or something else that changes the game. So nobody can put an exact date on the calendar because, as we've seen all along, the situation changes rapidly, our understanding. But I know they're looking at all sorts of options to keep the athletes safe and maybe potentially allow some of that competition to occur. I think what you'll see, again, is this very phased type approach where, you know, it's not really good for any of us to be gathering. Mass gatherings are a way out, but are there ways to have sports without spectators? And then, again, when you get to a time where you start to have spectators, you can imagine, can you have the social distancing for a while and less attendance? Can you do things differently? And so I think they're looking at all those options, and everyone's going to look at their options in a very phased kind of layered, tiered way where you do a little bit and make sure that you can make sure your athletes, obviously that was the thing that got us out of doing sports was when our athletes started getting sick. And we, you know, as we know more, we'll protect the athletes first and foremost. I know that's top of their mind. And then we'll try to find ways because, gosh, if even we could just watch it, right? If we even, you know, we need these things. They're the things that are going to give us joy. So I think they're looking at that very closely.
Also, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this, too, just because I think I heard a little bit of it yesterday. That, you know, you talk about the cooperation between the hospitals, and we know Northeast Ohio is driven by, you know, we believe two of the greatest hospitals in the world, the University Hospitals and the Cleveland Clinic. But, you know, if you're in Columbus, it's Ohio Health or Ohio State. Are you impressed with the way that these hospitals, who are normally, you know, big-time competitors, have been able to work together? And what does that say about our health system?
You know, I love our hospitals. I feel like I've been to the end of the world and back with them over these last few weeks. And they have stepped up in unprecedented ways, each and every one of them, from the smallest, most rural hospital to, you know, our stellar flagship university places, world-renowned hospitals, their researchers, their scientists, on a call every morning about at 6:30 with some of those CEOs and CMOs. We talk and they share things, and they're leading. They're doing hospitals without walls. They're basically taking responsibility not only for themselves and their unique hospitals, but for our nursing homes and our prisons and our congregate settings, our communities. They're helping advance testing in our state. They're helping advance novel solutions. They're working with industry to do things like we saw with Battelle. I mean, and they're working together. And that takes, again, you know, an unprecedented level of collaboration that has never had to exist before. And they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop just and go back to business as usual. We have a long way to go with them. You know, we have to make sure that we keep our hospitals working in a way that they can take any spikes or surges that occur in the future. And they know this is a long haul. They know we've got more than a year to a year and a half of taking care of our communities, and they are committed to doing that. And I just, again, I'll, when this is all over, the list of thank yous, not only to your listeners and the kind things that I can't possibly respond to yet, but I really want to talk about the heroic things I've seen by individuals and whole businesses and whole hospitals. It's just, again, don't lose sight, folks. We are donning the cape, and you can't stop now. You got to keep going.
Dr. Acton, thank you so much. We appreciate your time, and thanks for making us all proud Ohioans. I know when we hear Ohio is at the forefront of this thing, we know where the state's looking to, and it's you and it's the governor. So thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you, Dr. Acton.
Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.